Okay, so back to the Muksa L'chatzi Shabbos. Okay, so we started with one side, right? To say that, like Rashi says, Nid ha'chanim yivod yom. And, Nid ha'chanim yivod yom. So you had the hachana. But what happened is, it became unusable for what it was prepared for. So now it's no longer in the state of prepared. It lost its, it was nidche from its hachana. So now when it reemerges, it has no new hachana, because the hachana has mi be'od yom. Okay, so what do you say? What's the other side say? Well, do you have a revision of this side, either one? Right, let's go on. Let's go on in the Gemara a little bit. It's a very strange Gemara. You notice this Gemara? Extremely strange Shaka Vatarya in the Gemara. I don't recall a case like this, this Shaka Vatarya. Adel, you'll see what I mean. Go ahead.
Do you think, why would you say that you want to end?
Because I think this next case could help us out a little bit. Let's take a look at the next case. Let's see, where is it? From the Braisa? Lema Masayele. Yes, what was his answer? Okay, so it was Machlokas. So this Ikadamris, what his answer was. Correct? Yeah. Now the Gemara has another case. Tashma, right. Go ahead. Right, we had this case in Shabbos. So he was eating the grapes, and he had leftovers, and he put them up on the roof to make the raisins out of them. Or he was eating the figs, and he had extras, and he put them on the roof to make the grogros. He can't eat from them until he designates them from earlier in the day.
Okay.
Same with the other fruits. Okay, fine. Okay, so the Gemara has a problem over here. What's the case? So if, in other words, what is the actual state of affairs of these fruits? Right, this validates what we were saying last time, that it wasn't, he didn't put these things up right before Shabbos. Talking about he put them up a lot earlier than Shabbos. And now they might even be done. Right. So if they actually have finished the drying process, then you definitely his das is on them, right? Because that was the whole purpose of putting them there. So they are, in other words, the person doesn't have to actually be aware. So the Gemara says later, the person doesn't have to actually be aware. It just has to be that he set it up for this product and the product has emerged. If that product emerged before Shabbos, then we say it's a chazi. So the Gemara is bothered with what's the case, when do you need hazmana? What would hazmana help you? So if it's actually finished, then you don't need hazmana. That's the interesting case. But if, and if it wasn't done, even if you give it hazmana, even if you designate it, it won't help. Why? Interesting. So you see, hazmana can't apply to everything, right? Hazmana will not apply to the grogers and smukim if they're not roi. Why? Because they're not the chazi for achila. So it would be like a guy would say, this wooden stones are for achila. How do you translate those last three words in Russian? Right. Because no creature would eat them. No creature would eat them. But this doesn't this throw a problem into Chaim Svarno? Doesn't this create a problem for you, Svarno? Because someone Svara before, I think, was saying that when they're nidche, they still have a certain shame of, even in the state of dichoy, they still have a certain shame, right? Of Shabbos. I'm not saying it's a death blow, but it does reveal something interesting. So why, but you can't give it this shame when Shabbos starts? How come you can only give it this shame if it turned into this on Shabbos? Well, why can't you just give it the shame of Chachila? If you're going to tell me that the reason why the Grogos, why the case of where it turns out of being Roy when it becomes unfit on Shabbos and then returns, it's the reason why it's good, is because the Hazmana that you created in it lasts through that awkward period, lasts through that bad period. But then you're telling me that Hazmana can be applied to something that's in this state of not Roy. Hazmana, the original Hazmana, can still be attached to it in some sense. So why can't I give it that Hazmana l'chatchila?
No, wasn't
it? The problem is when the food turns into the rock, meaning to say that the good dried fruits get wet, and now they're like rocks, right? So how do they relate to Shabbos as a food in any way?
Why can't you say the original?
So I don't understand that. I mean, that's what bothers me. So if the original Achana works, so why can't I just say, prepare before Shabbos starts, these rocks will be for me a food later when they... Why can't they accept that designation? How come they can accept the continuance of the shame achila anymore? Why is that any more applicable than
aren't those logically different? Because you're saying that on the one hand you're talking about the hachana that's going to persist, but when you gave it the hachana, it was something capable of receiving that. But when you're talking about the etzim ve'avonim, There's sort of nothing to be chal on. You can't give it any sort of achana as an ochel because they're just totally removed from that.
Okay, so you'll say that the when Shabbos started, they were foods. They were able to receive a shame of Shabbos, right? And then they are, and then they'll some. Then they'll that'll shame, that shame will persist even through the bad state. But as Eitzim Vavonim L'chatchil on Shabbos, there's no Shaychas at all. There's no way for any Shein to be Chal. Okay, I hear.
Can you say that?
But I think this case is still helps us to refine things. Yeah.
Can you say that?
That's what you're saying. But we have to clarify. Let's go a little bit further. Go ahead. Go a little further. So the Gemara still has not figured out the case, right?
Right.
Says it can't be. And the Gemara was bringing this as a Raya. So right now it can't figure out the case. It can't be that they were not Roy when Shabbos started. I'm sorry, it can't be that they were Roy when Shabbos started. Right? Hey Chidami. I'm sorry, the other way. Hey Chidami. Has Rashi start? What is Rashi's first case? Lamali Azman, right. Lamali Azman, I'm sorry, the first way is if they're Chazi, then you don't need Azmana, right? V'id lo ichzu ki azmin lu mayhavi, right? Because that's like being mazmin stones for food. Go ahead. And if you're going to tell me you don't know, that also can't be, because we know it doesn't matter what you know. Correct? Right? Yeah, we know for a fact that can't be the case, because Rav Kahana says, doesn't matter what the guy doesn't need to be Omid al Gabov. He doesn't have to go to the Peros on Friday afternoon and say, I'm going to eat from you tomorrow. Even if he gets there on Shabbos and he can tell that it was dry from Friday afternoon, that's considered that he had his das on them. Well, why do they have his das on them? Because Rashi explains, because that was exactly what his plan was. right? That was the whole purpose of putting them up. They're dry. And they're yavesh, so it's basically the culmination of his preparation. They are already mukhan, because that was the whole process. It was a process of preparation. Okay, go ahead. So we don't have our case. It can't be what again? It can't be that they are roy. It can't be that they're not roy. And it can't be that we don't know if they're roy. So what is it? So isn't this the case that they came into Shabbos roy, and then on Shabbos they were nidcha, and then they were roy again? So what is it? What was his statement? Go ahead. Yeah. I'll probably say Al-Korcha. So it must be, the only way to figure out what it means to say that he had a hazmana was that he had foresight and he thought to himself, they're roi now, but what if they get wet tomorrow and then dry out at the end of the day? So I want to put this order in now, that my das is, if they get wet tomorrow and are nidche, and they become roi again, I want to be able to eat them. Okay? But as soon as the Gemara proposes it, it rejects it. Oh, so this is the proof, right? So it must be that we're talking about a case where it's where it becomes unusable in the middle of the day. And if you're going to tell me that there's ein muktzel chatzi Shabbos, then why would you have to do this? So the fact that the Braisa is talking about a case where it's unusable in the middle of the day, and it says he has to have hazmana, that proves yesh muktzel chatzi yom. All right.
But I thought the next part also was raising the challenge if you say yesh muktzel.
Yes, it's like elamai yesh muktzel, and then they ask a question.
But
go ahead.
It's taking that as a given that's possible. That's impossible.
That's what Rashi says. It must be al korchoch lo mesukma. I was trying to figure out what is the Braisa talking about. So they say it can't be any of the straight cases, muchan, not muchan, and unknown. So it must. It only leaves one more possibility: muchan in the beginning, not muchan in the middle, and muchan in the end. And you see, Rashi says, "I love halachi da azmin lehu," that's the only way you can have this hazmana. That he was mazmin them, that if they get knocked out, that they'll and return, that he'll eat from them tomorrow. But then this is what I'm saying is the strangeness of this Gemara. And then the Gemara says, "No, that doesn't make any sense either." Like the Gemara brings this Tashma, and it just basically never even gets a question out of it. Right? Because it says, even that is illogical. Even that possibility makes no sense. Right? It never really like posed a question and got an answer. It just, as it was working through the Braisa, it sort of realized that nothing is going to work out.
But didn't they resolve it then?
But they resolved this. Talking about something totally different. Not a real tashma. Never even got a question. But this is what's strange, also. But this is what really bothers me. Even the Gemara's final attempt, right, to say that he was mazmin is just totally illogical. Because the Gemara says, "What do you mean? What do you mean? Even that doesn't work out with any position. Why?" Because if you really hold, where's the stuff from here? Elamai. Right. Elalav dechazu vidchu v'adav ichzu. V'i amrit ein muktzel lamaluhu azmana. So that was the kasha. Right? If you hold, there's no muktzel for chatzi Shabbos. So why does he need this azmana? Elamai yesh mukta. So he says, "Oh, so it must be you hold from mukta." Oh, but if you hold from mukta, then it doesn't help. Then the hazmana doesn't help.
I mean, why would you need the hazmana?
No, the hazmana has two sides. If you held, there is no mukta, yeah. Then what would you need the hazmana for? So it must be, hold, there is muksa. But then it says, oh, but then the hazmana won't help. So why won't the hazmana, why won't the hazmana help?
Because it's in a state, Rashi.
Let's see, Rashi. Elama yesh muksa. Yeah, it's interesting, Rashi. So what's he saying? He's saying there's no such, apparently that was the point that the Gemara was toying with, right? That was the point the Gemara was toying with. What's the point? What's the question over here? What is Rashi expressing when he says that Zamana won't help?
Saying it's not in a state where it's where.
No, no, no. Look at him carefully. What is he saying?
Can't do a hatzah.
Right. No, you can't do a hazmana. That's hazmana can do nothing more than prepare the thing as it goes into Shabbos. There's no such thing as saying I'm going to do like a hazmana now that will be effective in 20 hours. The only thing your hazmana can do is define the thing as it goes into Shabbos. But you don't need it. It's going into Shabbos as nochel. So the Gemara doesn't do anything. But apparently there was some thought. I mean, otherwise, in order for this Gemara to have thought it had some sort of a question at all, no, it must have had some possibility that you can sit at the beginning of Shabbos and sort of lob a hazmana into the future. Right? And it'll be effective in that later time. And the Gemara quickly rethinks it and says, no, that doesn't really make any sense. Hazmana has to be for the now. So if hazmana is for the now, you don't need it, because now it's mukhan.
Right.
So that's what the Gemara says. So it must be none of these cases. It must be simply a totally different idea, that it comes into Shabbos good and no good, meaning some people would eat them and some people wouldn't eat them. And then you need a Gilei Das, which is also interesting. Then you need a Gilei Das. What's the Gilei Das for? Apparently you have to define when the Gemara of the process is.
I thought this was a clarification of the last case. That let's say it rained.
No. Talking about when Shabbos enters. Right, so it's going back to its original question. Did it enter Shabbos, Roy or not Roy? Either side is going to be a problem. And even unknown is going to be a problem. The answer is, it entered Shabbos in a state like a machol ben drusoy kind of a thing, where some people would eat it and some people wouldn't eat it. Now you have to be koveya that this is the gemara of your malacha. Otherwise it would go by the majority, right?
But it seems like there was a stronger havamina.
But the shot in terms of the question of muksa l'chatzi Shabbos is sort of like started to try to find a question, stumbled around, and then just retreated. It's like a strange...
It really was trying to prove...
Right, it does seem that the best way to explain it is it thought it was a proof that there is muktzah, and it had entertained the possibility, like we said, that you can anticipate a hazmana, you can make a hazmana like in abeyance for a later event, and the Gemara concludes that doesn't make any sense. But if that's true, then maybe it reveals something about what the idea, and it's just strange also, because... Right, so it would reveal something about the idea, maybe, no? About the idea or the problem of muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. Of what muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, how it occurs, and how to prevent it. Right? In other words, if you held muksa, but that's consistent with what we're saying. That's consistent with what we're saying. Gemara is saying that if you hold muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, mishum chatzi Shabbos, so it means in the middle of Shabbos, all of its hachana is removed. And it can only be muchan mibod yom. So that's what the Gemara thought. Maybe you could anticipate that and Miba'od Yom sort of have the later state relate back to a Miba'od Yom. Right? That's what the Gemara was trying to... The Gemara thought maybe this Braisa was expressing a solution to the problem of Muktza L'chatzi Shabbos. Muktza Mishum L'chatzi Shabbos means that since it fell out of use, it lost its any of its... designation for Shabbos, because what it was designated for is achila, and that's removed. So now it's like destroyed. It's destroyed as nochel. It's a neva. So now when it comes back in, it comes back in as a new thing, has no hachana. So the Gemara thought, maybe this shows you, the Gemara is saying, maybe the Braisa is teaching you that from beforehand you can say, if this occurs, I'm giving it a hachana from now. The Gemara says, Gemara rejects that. Gemara rejects it completely. That doesn't make sense. Because the hazmona can only give a chalos shame to the cheftza now. There's no such thing as discussing it, what it will be later. But let's stop for a minute. Does anybody get a chance to look at the Rashba that I mentioned the other day? Rashba and the Meiri, they ask an interesting question. The question is, why are the grogos with simukim different than the sukkah, let's say? Like the sukkah ru'ua. Let's say I come to the grogos with simukim. Let's say I come to the sukkah ru'ua on Erev Shabbos, right? Or Erev Yantif, let's say. So it's not usable now. But I can say, when it falls apart, I'm going to use it. Right? So why can't a guy come to his grogos with simukim, see that they're not roy, but anticipate that they might become roy tomorrow, and say, be masna, when they become roy tomorrow, I'll eat them. Right? Why can't a guy do this? Gemara seems clear that they're not actually roy. When Shabbos enters, there's nothing you can do about it. Why is that so? Why can't the guy really be masna like any other case of muksa where a guy can be masna?
I thought you said this.
No right, so Jonah's answer is good, that there's no anticipation because you don't know the factors of here. Like they say by Bidei Adam, that over here it's not Bidei, over here there's too many factors. It might be cloudy tomorrow, the wind might not blow enough tomorrow, who knows, you can't really anticipate it. It's not really in the realm of the possible. It's totally up to, it's not really something you can anticipate. Okay, that's an interesting answer. Could you? See, the funny thing is that the Rashba and the Meiri, they both use a similar lashon, and I really am not... so listen to the Rashba. I really don't know what he's saying. He says like this, Vim tomer maishna mi sukkah ru'ua da'alma. Right, because the Gemara says, Id lo chazu ki az maninu mayhavi, meaning there's nothing you can do. So he says, but why is it different than the sukkah ru'ua? The Alma, not the Sukkah Sachag. Damrian Lakomon Shim Hisne Alea Vinofla Biomto Vere Hakolafita no. We have a gav the Kol Bein Hashmoshes Lochazi. Listen to what he says. Vyesh Lomar Dishani Hosam Diminkara Hachanosa Vehazmanosa. That's different because his Hachana, his preparation, and his designation are apparent. They're nicker. They're apparent. The hanafla, because it fell. Masha'en came begrogos with simukim. Delo minkara re'uyos didhu. It's not apparent, it's their fitness. Why don't you say the hachazia? I mean, we're only talking about the case where you come there in the morning and they're good. I mean, how do you bring a raya because it fell? I mean, we're only talking about a case where they're good. What does he mean it's nicker? It's not nicker. Vaharaya, what do you say? Dahanofla? And what is the whole idea? It's not nicker. Delo minkara ru'uyos didhu. Is he saying what Jonah's saying? I'm not really sure. Right.
So there's a reality to what he's saying, that this is basically good for me. It's going
right.
to be. But by the fruits, I don't know if it's true. You can't, by looking at the
fruits,
you can't tell exactly when they're
going to
come
wrong. Right. It sounds like he's saying, like Jonah's saying, that by the, that you just can't anticipate it. You can't really honestly anticipate it by how it looks. By the sukkah, you can say, I can tell it's very weak. And I can tell you structures in this way always fall. And you see I was right. And I can go backwards and say it fell simply because of its internal weakness. And I can make study of that and determine what type of construction is about to fall. Because it falls on its own. But over here by the fruits, you really can't tell by looking at it. There's no way to really tell by looking at it. So it's not a predictable thing. That could be. That's similar to the way Jonah's learning. But Rashi seems to learn differently. No, Rashi seems to be learning like Morris and Chaim are saying. that the difference between the sukkah and the grogos with simukim is whether it's a change in its substance or a change in its availability. In other words, the sukkah ru'ua really, you can look at it simply as eitzim. It really is eitzim, it's just under a condition. So I can say, well, the condition is really accidental, and I essentially view it like eitzim for wood, for fire, like we said last time. But grogos v'tzimukim are simply like rocks at this point. Intrinsically, they're not roy at all. It's not a condition that they're under. You understand? It's not like there is good food under a bad condition. Right now, there's no shame ochel at all. By the sukkah, the wood is the same wood. It's exactly the same wood I'm going to be using tomorrow. The only thing is, the problem is that since there's a shame ohel, I'll say that it's huksa, it's muksa machmas iser. But I can sort of look at it and say, no, the shame ochel is totally external. And essentially, it's just atze asaka in a unique arrangement. But my achana can be chal on something that's presently there, right? Whereas Rashi seems to be learning that's the problem, that the achana has to be able to be chal on something on something as it is right now. But the grogos at simukim right now are like eitzim v'avanim. So you can't be mechin. There's nothing to be. There's nothing for the shame to be chal on. Right? That's interesting. It seems to be machlokas. What's the problem of the being mechin the grogos at simukim? Is it that the achana has to be, it has to enter the Shabbos with the shame of that you wanted to have, or that's not really the problem? You can be making it on its future identity, the Gabi Shabbos, but that future identity has to be an apparent reality now, not just wishful thinking. But anyway, okay, so that's one strange thing in this Gemara. Now the next thing is also, I'm telling you, it's two strange cases, to me, very strange. The next, let's just do the next case. I want to finish up the topic. The next case is what? Is Rabbi Zeira thinks he's got a great proof, right? And Abaye just like practically mavaza him, right? What was his great proof? He said, "I'll prove to you that there is no muktzah for Chatzi Shabbos or Chatzi Yom Tov. Why? Because take the simple case of beans, right? Take beans and lentils. So the beans and the lentils enter Shabbos, that they're roy, correct? Enter Shabbos being roy. Why? Because you can chew them. Okay, you can chew them. But then what happens? You cook them on Yontif, right? And what happens when you cook them? Now they're nidcha. Why? Idchu luhu. Why are they dachay? Calls mansha roschen. You cannot eat burning hot beans and lentils. Even Esav couldn't eat the burning hot lentils. Okay. Goma bishulayhu chazuluhu. And when the cooking is done, ishtaru, we say you can eat them. V'lo aminan sho'o achasein muktzos v'yidchu. Proof. Rabbi Zeira had a good proof. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to cook food on Shan Yantif, because it starts Yantif edible. When it's cooked, it's knocked out of the box. And when it's, while it's cooking, I mean. And when it's done, we say you can eat it. So Abai says to him, what are you talking about? U'l-taymeich, what's l'taymeich? That you consider being very hot, like it's muktzah. And you want to learn from this, I'm paraphrasing Rashi, you want to learn from this, that there's no muktzah for Chatzi Shabbos, but then you're going to run into a bigger problem. How can you eat any food on Shabbos? Right? Tikshi l'cho, mehashta d'lo sucha l'taretz, You're not going to be able to answer how we can eat any food on Friday night. Because where our only question is if there's a muktzah mishum chati Shabbos. But everybody agrees that if there's a muktzah mishum bein hashmashos, that's not a question, right? And you're saying, roschin, you're saying that the Risi Chasson is Torah's muktzah, has Torah's muktzah. So then when Shabbos starts, hare bein hashmashos, kol akadeus misulakos me mirusachos mina kira. V'achlinu minayu l'orta. All the food that we take out of the kira is still burning hot during bein hashmashos. Still burning hot during bein hashmashos. I guess it didn't have such a long bein hashmashos. Still remains burning hot bein hashmashos. Or maybe this is a proof that even the beginning of bein hashmashos is good. Is a problem. Right. And yet we can eat them. So what do you see from this? That being hot. So what do you see from this? Ella midi de gamru bidei adam lo kam boilan. When we asked if there's a muktzah mishum chatzi Shabbos or not, we never dealt with cases that the muktzah is bidei adam. The kaven de biyadal l'sakno bo biyom lo maktzalei midaitem de dechiyoso. Since he could fix it at any point, it's not considered maktzah midaitei from his dechiyah. In other words, that's not considered the full, that's not really called the dechiyah. Hilkach polen v'adoshim einam raya lakan. Can't bring any raya from the beans and the lentils. U'mehai time enami shavini k'deir shabin hashmashas. Ki kami b'aylan gamar b'dei shamayim. Ay dechama dekevin sh'ein b'yadol esakno mesach daite minei. So 1 second. So there's two problems here. What was Rabbi Zeira thinking? I mean, he was just like, jumped the gun. He just got excited about he thought he had a good one, and Abaye brought him back to reality. Or did he have any kind of a svara? Did he not think about this problem? I mean, how does he answer this problem of Abaye? And also, now Rashi finally reveals what's going on a little more. No? Now he finally informs us a little bit more about what the question is about. That what? Has to do with Mesiach Das. Right, sounds like he's learning that the only question is that on Shabbos, it's the same thing. Muksa is created during Bein Hashmashos and in the middle of Shabbos in the same way. It would be that you're Mesiach Das from it. That's what we create Muksa. The fact that a person is Mesiach Das from the thing. But anything that's Gamru Bidei Adam, you can't say a person is Mesiach Das from it. But why is it Mesiach Das? Why is it just a not Roy? But how would you put the question simply? Just as a question. How would you put the question? You'd say like this. I would say like this. The question is that when something is designated for Shabbos, right, so it has a certain hazmona and hachana, mivod yom, and then it loses that utility, right, it ceases to exist the way it was designated, so it was nidche from its shame. When the shame reemerges, can we say that the original hachana is reinstated? Can we say that it is reinstated into its original position? Or do we say once there was a dechi in the middle, it would need a new hachana? In other words, can I say it has returned to its original position? You need hachana mibojom, that's for sure. But, and it had to enter Shabbos with a certain identity. Right? That is its hachana. But when it loses that identity, can I say that it's like a chos of a near? Can I say that it just reemerges under its original under its original heading, or do I have to say no? Now it's past its history, and now it's a new haschala. I mean, just technically, that would seem to be the question.
But what's happening in that whole state?
It's not Roy. It's not Roy Vajavis.
We're learning at the stamp of being Mukhan.
Take a look at the bottom line in the Rabbeinu Chanan. Take a look at the second last line from the Rabbeinu Chanan. He says, "V'im tomar kol dovar shehoya roi la'achila, afal pi shenidche." Right, so it becomes inedible. "Im chazar v'nire b'kashrusa omed v'lo nidche." That's the way he expresses ein muksa. That if it started out nireh, roy for achila, it was nidche, and then it became good again, b'kashruso omeid. It still is omeid in its original hachana. So I'm saying it's not that it's roy in between. It's not that. That's why it is muksa. It definitely is muksa in between. You can't move it in between. But, and you definitely need a chana mibiyojom. But do we say that it can return to its original kashrus or not? Now, of course, we can think deeper. What would be the cause of either side? But just definitively, that seems to be the question. I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, you have the question of dichloy by a few other things. You know, the question yesh dichloy etal mitzvahs. That if something was roy for a mitzvah and then became not roy for a mitzvah, can it be used again? Like if you had a hadas that. That was roy, and then it grew berries, so it wasn't roy, and then the berries fell off. You say, well, once it was nidche, it was nidche. Or by dam, the Gemara says. By kudshim, the Gemara says, things like that. If it's nidche for some reason, even though it returns to its usable state, it's too late. It's nidche. No, by dam and kudshim.
No, but there's a case.
So what would it mean that it's bekashruso omeid, as opposed to being nidche? In other words, everybody agrees. I mean, what it seems like you have to go with something. You have to go some sort of way that Chaim was going. It has to be some sort of idea that the Gemara already removed the possibility that Hazmana from before Shabbos can be projected forward into a future time. So it can't be working that way. It can't be like when Shabbos starts, the guy says, come what may, there's a standing Hazmana. There's a standing hazmana. Whenever it needs it, the hazmana will be chal on it. That can't be. The Gemara rejects that possibility, right? So it must be something that is continuing with the cheftza, right? But the difficulty is when the cheftza goes through the state. Rashi says it's like avonim, and what continues with the avonim. I mean, there's no shame achila that's shayach to it. It certainly couldn't impart one before Shabbos to Eitz and Avonim. So if they happen to turn into fruit, we'll eat them.
Is there a be?
That was the way to answer Reb Zeira. We'll go into it in more detail, Blineder. But the way to answer Reb Zeira is that he did not hold. You can learn from the middle of Yom Tov to Bein HaShemashos. He said Bein HaShemashos is a totally different phenomenon. Bein HaShemashos, you have more latitude, because you could say, I'm defining how it is going to be on Shabbos. At the point of the entering of Shabbos, I can define it now as basically only to be a mavushal. It's true, it's temporarily hot, but that's no different than any other tanai that we can do. But if it entered Shabbos raw, then it already had a hachana of raw. Now you can't say, when you're cooking in the middle of Yom Tov, I'm giving it its shame of Yom Tov. It already had a shame of Yom Tov. Bein HaShemashos is the only time you can say that, because it had no other shame. It's coming in undefined. So I can say, well, the process of the resichus that it's in, when it comes in, is really its definition. But if it comes in raw, then it already has its definition. Cooking it is just going to be removing that definition. And by hell, they can't differentiate between either zman.